Book of Luke, chapter 6, we are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did, when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone.
Jesus Christ and his disciples, walking on the Sabbath day, and when they're walking through the cornfield, they were hungry. And when they're hungry, they start taking the corns and rubbing on their hands and start eating. Jesus didn't eat. Other disciples were eating. And Pharisees saw them doing this and they asked the question to the disciples, What you're doing, it is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Jesus heard it, and Jesus said to these Pharisees, Didn't you hear that David, when he was hungry, he went to the house of God and asked the priest to give him some food? And when he gave him food, that food was not lawful to give it to the ordinary people. That was only for the priest and his family. And how did he give it to the David and the people were with him? Now from this, you know, Jesus Christ knew the Bible very well. Luke chapter 4, we read, when the devil came to argue with him, he said, It is written. And he gave the scriptures from the Word of God. Now here, Jesus Christ, even the question was not asked to him. The question was asked to his disciples. Before disciple could say anything, Jesus Christ gave him the answer from the Word of God. Go to the 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 4 to 6.
And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away.
Jesus Christ knew the scriptures, and he gave the answer from the scriptures, so they could not say anything. They kept their mouth shut. Go back to the Luke chapter 6, verse 5.
And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth.
Now this is another Sabbath day. Jesus Christ going in the synagogue or the house of God. And here comes one man whose right hand is withered. Now when you say right hand is the always you do work with it. And so it's very important hand. If the right hand is withered, you cannot do anything unless you are left-handed. So when he says right hand is withered, this man was like a handicap. He cannot do anything with his right hand. So I think this man knew if Jesus Christ is in the temple or the synagogue, when I go there, I'm going to be healed. But at the same time, the word of God says there are Pharisees sitting there. Did you see when they were coming in the field, the Pharisees were after them. When he comes to the synagogue, the Pharisees after them, just like a news people. They were always with Jesus finding faults. All these Pharisees are sitting and they are thinking in their mind, now we'll see this man is a withered hand man and Jesus Christ is going to heal him on the Sabbath day so we can find a fault. They're already thinking. So Jesus Christ already knew what they're thinking. Now Jesus Christ tells this man, just think that man was sitting somewhere in the back. He says, come forth and stand here in front of all the people. And so this man comes and stands there. Now this man is not healed yet. He's just standing. And then everybody is looking at Jesus. Let's see what he's going to do. Jesus Christ was much wiser than these Pharisees. See what Jesus Christ is doing. Let's read the verse 9.
Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?
Now when he asked the question, on Sabbath day we should do good things or evil things? We should save life or we should kill somebody on Sabbath day? Now when that question was asked, not a single person said anything. They just kept quiet. And not only that, Jesus Christ start looking around. Let's read a little further. Verse 10.
And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Now before he could say to this man, he started looking everywhere. Let's see who is against me or what they want to say. Or he made the eye contact to everybody, but not a single person was able to say to him, don't do it. And then he says to this man, stretch forth your hand. And the word of God says, as soon as he did, his hand was completely healed, just like the other hand. From that we know our God is a healer. Can you imagine if somebody has like a withered hand like this and goes to the doctor, they cannot do anything. They have to have neurosurgeon finding the nerves going to his hand and do so many things, and it will cost thousands of dollars and it will not happen in a split second. Here Jesus Christ says to this man, stretch forth your hand, and hand was completely healed like the other hand. Once I was traveling and I went to one city and I had a 3 days healing service. Blind man got healed and the dumb people got healed and the lame people got healed. And after that, I was going, and the morning I was going to get my train. While I was going, one man, strong husky man, stood there and said, you cannot go. I said, sir, this is the train, and if I don't go by this train, there is no other train. He says, come to my house. So I was not afraid to go to his house. Only I was worried about missing the train. So I said, why am I coming to your house? He said, my brother is very sick. I said, how far is your house? He said, not too far. You can still catch a train. So I went to his house. This man was sitting on the chair, and his leg was like a, just like this man's hand, like a withered. He could not bend it. He could not do anything. And so I said, I'm going to pray for you. And the mother said, don't pray for him. I said, why? Oh, my daughter has a stiff neck, and she's a registered nurse. She's in the hospital. Can I bring her? I said, mother, my train is going. And so she said, oh, it will not take much time. So she brought this daughter. At that time, I said, Lord, hold the train for me. And here I laid hand on this daughter, and I told her to move her neck, and she did. I said to the man, I said, "Sir, did you see God healed your sister's neck? That same God can heal your leg." Now see, God was opening the door for this lame man to see what God is going to do. When he saw his sister's neck is completely healed, he said, "Pray for me." And I put my hand on his thigh, and there I see the cigarette packet. I said, "Sir, you want to get healed? Yes. Then you have to give up this smoking." He said, "Okay, I don't need a smoking." And so I laid hand and prayed for him, and I told him, "Sit down." He said, "I cannot sit down because my leg is withered. If I sit down, my leg is going to break." I said, "In the name of Jesus, sit down." And he did 7 times. Was completely healed. So what I'm trying to say, our God is a healer. How much time it took? Instantly. Only time took to talk to them and pray for them. But by faith, I went to the railway station and I said, "Did that train go?" They said, "No, that train is late for 2 hours. And so I got my train and those people got healed. So point I'm making, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, what Jesus did, we can do it too. There is nothing impossible with God. Let's read the verse 11.
And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus.
Can you imagine? Jesus did good thing. And these people are thinking, how can we deal with Jesus? That means they wanted to kill him, destroy him, doing just good things. So there are people, they don't like good things, they like evil things. But don't worry, if you are in the Lord's side, God will protect you. Verse 12.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
People wanted to kill him, destroy him. Where Jesus goes? He goes to the mountain and he prays with his Father for a whole night. And when you go to the mountain, do you know there are mountains, lions and all animals and everything? But Jesus was not afraid. He would go and talk to his Father. Praying means talking. He was talking to his Father. God might have said to him, "Son, I send you to this world to sacrifice your life and preach the gospel. But you are doing alone. I want you to take some more people, select them and send them so they can be preaching the gospel." So he talked to God and then he comes out of the mountain.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles.
Now here Jesus Christ comes from the mountain, and what he's doing, he's choosing the disciples. Now when he says choosing the disciples, that means he has to have more than 12 people. The word of God says so many people came there, like multitudes of people came. And out of that, he wanted to choose some disciples. Go ahead and read from verse 13.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all.
Now see what happened. Jesus Christ stayed on the mountain for a whole night, praying with his Father, comes down, and all the multitudes of people, we saw the great multitudes of people from Judea, Jerusalem, seacoast, Tyre, Sidon, and all around the cities, people came to touch him. And the word of God says, they touched him, and many people got healed. The demon-possessed people got healed, and multitudes of people got healed. And the word of God says they were all healed. The last verse says all of them were healed. Not a single person was disappointed. When they came to Jesus Christ, all people got healed. In the time of Jesus, each and every person who touched him, they all got healed. Power is available. We have to touch Jesus by faith. Let's read verse 20.
And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God."
If you read in the book of Matthew, the same kind of message, Luke says generally, but Matthew gives a little bit better idea. Luke says, "And he lifted up his eyes and he said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." All the poor people cannot get the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
People who are poor in the spirit, not poor physically, and they will go to heaven. You have to be humble in your spirit. You have to be willing to receive Jesus Christ. Proud people do not want any part of the kingdom of God. But the humble people, the people who are poor in the spirit, they are the one looking for the kingdom of God. And so the word of God says, you have to be poor in the spirit to inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so let's read book of Matthew, since we are in the book of Matthew. Read up to verse 12 and then we'll come back to Luke.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Okay, now here he says, blessed are those people who are hunger and thirst after the righteousness, they are going to be filled. Not everybody who is hungry today, they are going to be filled. The who are hungry for the righteousness sake, those are the people will fill. If you are hungry today and you can eat up to your nose within 6 hours, you are going to be hungry again. Once you eat, you said, oh, I'm not going to eat anymore. But 6 hours later, you get hungry and you get thirsty. The hunger and thirst for the food is not going to vanish away. The Luke says, if you're hungry, you're going to be filled. But the Matthew says the same thing. The Matthew says, you have to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, then you shall be filled. The worldly things will not fill you up. If you have one house, you want a bigger house. If you got a bigger house, you need a second house. You have a small car, you need a van, and you need something else. Everything what we want in this world, we are not going to be satisfied. But the word of God says, if you are hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, you will be filled. That's what the word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. If you keep on going after the worldly things, you will never be satisfied. But if you're hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, you will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the one who peacemaker. They will be called the children of God. How many people want to make peace? Making peace with somebody is not easy. You have to humble yourself. You have to forgive one another. And you have to forgive their problems. And then people will love you. Then you can be having peace. You cannot have peace. You punch somebody and say, why don't you have peace with me? He will punch you back. There will be no peace. But the peacemakers are always calm in the spirit. And they think about God. They think about the love of God. And they think about Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of people will have peace. And now here he's saying, the people will persecute you. For what? The righteousness sake. But if somebody persecute you because you robbed the bank and everybody kicking you, you already did something wrong. That's why people are pushing you and killing. But if you didn't do anything and you are a child of God, and you are pleasing God, and then people are persecuting you, he says, then the kingdom of God is yours.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
If they do persecute you, how? Falsely. You didn't do anything, and people will persecute you falsely. That's the time you should rejoice. I didn't do anything. I have rights to defend myself. Don't defend, or God will defend you. If you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry, because God is watching over us. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. He is watching. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to say, I didn't do anything. Jesus didn't do anything. And they crucified him. And so the word of God says, they will do all kinds of falsely evil things against you, but you don't worry. Verse 12.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
So what he's trying to say? Rejoice. Rejoice for what? Our reward is great in heaven. We are not looking at the rewards in this world. One day we will have reward. Right now I'm hungry. Right now I don't have good house. Right now I don't have good clothes. Right now I don't have good job. Right now I do not have good food. But my reward is waiting for me in heaven. Our God is watching over us, and he is not going to let us suffer in this world. Jesus Christ's disciple said, Peter said, I left everything and I followed you. What am I going to get? He says, whatever you left for me, you're going to get hundredfold in this world and plus eternal life. So God is not going to keep us beggars. God is not going to keep us wanting. As you follow the Lord, he will supply the needs. Let's go back to the book of Luke and start reading from verse 21.
Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets.
Here also he says, rejoice and leap for joy, because your reward is in heaven. They are going to persecute you because you serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So rejoice. Verse 24.
But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
Now this seems to be very difficult. But he says, if you really love the Lord, then we don't care about the worldly things. He says, if somebody asks you a cloth, give your jacket also. If somebody asks you something, don't say no. And if you give it to somebody, don't go after and say, give it back and fight about it. It seems to be difficult, but I practice in my life, not in here only, but in India. Somebody in India, people will ask you anything. If they want to go for a wedding or something and they don't have clothes, they say, could you give me your shirt or your jacket? Sometimes they will ask you shoes. Sometimes they will ask you umbrella. Sometimes they will ask you blanket. They can ask you anything. When I give you shirt to somebody and they said, I'll bring it back, I said, I don't need it. Keep it. When I give my shoes to somebody and they said, I'll bring it back, if somebody takes my shoes and use it, I never take it back. Somebody asks me umbrella, I give them umbrella, I'll never take it back. And so the word of God is saying, God gives us grace that way. One day I had a beautiful shirt and I kept it for drying. And I was sitting there and I was a businessman that. I was counting the money. And here comes one person and takes my shirts and start walking. And my mother said, see, that boy is taking his shirt. I said, Mom, let him have it. I did not go after him to get that shirt. Point I'm making, whatever the Bible says, it sounds so difficult, when you do not have trust in your God. Then give it away some things and don't take it back. Word of God says when you invite somebody for dinner, invite such a people that they will not invite you back. Who are those people? The hungry people, homeless people. If you give them the food and bring them and give it to them, they're not going to ask you back. But what we do, we call somebody a boss or some good rich friend to come to our house so they can invite us. The Word of God says when we're giving somebody, don't think that we want to take it back. We give it by love. And that's what the Word of God is trying to say. Verse 32.
For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil.
The evil people, the worldly people, do the same thing. So what he's trying to say, you do more than the worldly people. How can you do more? Then he says, verse 35, he says, when your enemy has a need, that's the time you give it to them. When you read in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 19 to 21.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Here the Word of God is saying, if you are angry at somebody, somebody did something to you, don't go to punch him, to revenge him, to kill him. Leave him alone. I know I'm going to take a revenge. But what you're supposed to do, read the words following.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
See, this is what the Bible teaches us. Somebody says, can somebody do like this? Somebody comes to kill you. Somebody comes to rob you. Somebody comes to destroy you. Are you going to give him something to eat and drink? I have heard a many time. There was a one robber came to rob the old lady. And she says, Sonny, sit down here. I want to make a breakfast for you, or I want to make food for you. You might be hungry. And he just sat there and she gave him food and everything. And the man did not rob her. Even though he wanted to rob her, she loved him, gave him food, and he walked away. So the Word of God says when the people were hungry and thirsty, they are like a mad dog. They want to kill somebody. They want to destroy somebody. If that kind of person, give that person something to drink, give them full stomach, full food, and then I want to see if the person wants to beat you up or what. No. When they eat something, in our language, there was a saying, when you give somebody food, that person will not hit you again because in our food, we put salt. And when somebody eats the salty food with you and they come and fight with you, those people are called namak haram. That means they ate my food and now they became my enemy. So the most of the people say, if I eat his food, I cannot fight with him. And so the people, when they come to our house, door is open and somebody comes to our house, first thing we'll say, come on, have a food. We will have always food cooked, more than enough. So we invite them to eat, drink, a dinner time or not a dinner time, lunch time or not a lunch time. First they come, they say, did you eat anything? Did you drink anything? Please come and sit and eat. That's what we do. And so those people will never be able to do something wrong to you. The Word of God is saying, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If your enemy thirsty, give him something to drink. When you do something like that, The word of God says, don't overcome with evil, but overcome with good. And that needs the God's grace. If you are not born again, child of God, if you do not love the Lord, you will never do what this scripture says. But once you are sold out to Jesus Christ, then you will love your enemy. We can only love people when we have love of God in you. Okay, let's read the following verse. Book of Luke, chapter 6.
But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
See what he's saying? If you do these things, you will be children of the Highest. What does it mean? The children of God. So we are the children of God, and let the whole world know that we are belong to Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do? We will love people, and we'll find their needs, and we are going to supply their needs. So as a Christian brother and sister, when you're walking on the street, when you're looking at somebody, they can see your eyes and they can find out you are a born-again child of God. You don't have to stare at people. We don't have to be angry at people. We don't have to push people around. That way people can see this person is something different. We are the children of God and we want to win people by love of God. Let's read verse 36.
Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful.
Now here he's saying, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Who is our Father? Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father is merciful. Heavenly Father is love. The Word of God says God is love and God is merciful. God is holy. Let's read the 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. Here he says, our God is a holy God.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
See, it is written, he says, in the book of Leviticus, it's written, our God is a holy God, so he says, be ye holy as our heavenly Father is holy. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
So what the command is, be merciful, be loving, and be holy, and be perfect. Somebody says, it's impossible. We cannot be perfect, we cannot be holy, we cannot be merciful, because it is impossible. Yes, it is impossible for worldly people, but it's not impossible for us. Because God is love, and once you receive the love of God in your heart, means receive Jesus Christ, who is the model of love, you're going to love. When Jesus Christ, who is merciful and kind, when he's inside of you, you will be merciful. You will be kind to others. And Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. You trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that blood has power to cleanse your sins and make you holy. So the blood of Jesus Christ makes us righteous in the sight of God. So how can we be righteous? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Word of God says we can be righteous. When we are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Father sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and what the Father says, you are not guilty, you are not sinner. What does it mean? You are perfect. We are perfect in Christ. Without Christ, we cannot be perfected. But in Christ, we are perfect. Sinless, without sin. That's why we are able to go to heaven. Otherwise, no one will be able to go to heaven. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 37.
Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
He says, judge not, so you shall not be judged. But somebody says, a Christian people should not be judging. And other people said, you are judgmental. And so we should not be judging others when, if you are doing the same thing. If you are smoking, you cannot tell somebody don't smoke. If you are drinking, you cannot tell somebody not to drink. But here we'll see, the Word of God is saying, If you have a log or beam in your eyes, how can you will be able to see some little bit dust in your brother's eyes? So what he's trying to say, take the beam out, then you will be able to see any dust in your brother's eyes and you can take it and help him. First of all, you have to be holy. First of all, you have to be perfect. Then you can tell somebody to do the same. That is not judgmental. If I'm not drinking and I say somebody, please don't drink, then I could say I used to drink and I had a lot of problems and now God gave me grace. Now I'm free. So that's why I'm trying to save your life and your family's life. So that's not judgmental. So another thing he says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. People do not forgive people. Some people say, I cannot forgive that person. If you don't forgive that person, then the word of God says you will not be forgiven. If you need forgiveness, then you have to learn to forgive others. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. It's very interesting. He says, when you go to church or go to the temple or go to the serve the Lord, and even though you're bringing offering to God, God is not looking at your offering. What God is looking at your heart. If your heart is not right, and if you're giving offering, God is not taking that offering. Book of Matthew chapter 5, starting from verse 22. So here we see you bringing the offering to God, God looks at your heart. Now just think, if you're giving somebody $10,000 and even though you're a murderer, they are not going to say, I don't need your money.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
See, what God is saying, go back to your brother. Ask him forgiveness. And then you come back, and I'll take the offering. So what God needs? Your heart, not your money. God has everything. He wants your heart. You go to chapter 6 and starting from verse 14 and 15.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
He says if you don't forgive the people who did wrong to you, then God is not going to forgive you also. If somebody wants to go to heaven, they have to learn here to forgive your enemies. Forgive your mother, father, brother, or co-workers, or anybody did anything wrong to you. Please do not hold the grudge. If you hold the grudge, what happens? You get sick. You get arthritis. You get some diseases. And there are so many diseases are there, the person who doesn't forgive others. And so forgiveness is must. You have to forgive others, otherwise God is not forgiving you. And go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. There are people, hypocrites. They can fast and pray, but in their prayer, they are not asking people to forgive them. God to forgive them. They are taking grudge and they're thinking, if I fast and pray, God will bless me. No, God is not going to bless you until you forgive. Now, we don't have time to read in book of Mark, chapter 11. You should be reading from verse 22 to 26. I'll give you in a nutshell, then you know. He says, if you want to move the mountains, you will tell the mountain, be thou removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, it will be moved. And if you, whatever you believe, it will happen to you. Sounds good. But read verse 25 and 26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
See what he's trying to say. When you stand for prayer, want to move the mountains, you want so many things from God and you're praying for those things. And he says, well, you're asking me to forgive you. You asking me to do miracle for you, but you did not forgive your enemies, your brother or sister or whoever. Forgive them first. Then God will hear your prayer. God is not going to answer our prayer. We say, God, hear my prayer, and you don't want to listen to God. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verse 9, it says, if you don't listen to God, and you pray, your prayer will be what? Abomination. God doesn't want to hear you. Proverbs 28, verse 9 and 13.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
If you do not listen to God, your prayer is abomination. Verse 30.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See, if you did something wrong to somebody, you should forgive. But he says, well, God is not going to find out. Let me ask God to bless me. He said, no, if you cover your sin, if you don't listen to God, if you don't confess your sins, and don't forsake your sins, God is not going to have mercy on you. So when you come to God to prayer, what you do first? Check your heart. If there is anything against God, if there is anything I'm praying and is not answered, that means something is wrong. The healing, financial blessings, or any other things you want, you're not going to get until you clear up your heart. You have to say, Lord, if there is anything in my heart, search and find out, and I want to get rid of those sins. Then God will have mercy on you. Then God will hear your prayer. Let's go back to the Luke. We are going to finish it. It's not too much now. Luke 6, verse 38. We will stop at 38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
See what he say? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When you give it to God, this is not saying give it to other people. Giving to God, when you're giving to God, what God says, I'm going to give you back. But how God does, he says, you give it to God, and God inspires people to give it to you. God doesn't throw from the heaven. He inspires people to give. So when you give it to God, when you do the good things for God, God inspires more people to giving to you. Yesterday, I got two checks. One person wrote $100, and another person wrote $100. And that one person who wrote $100, he wrote a check, $100, few days ago. And then I checked, he wrote another check few days ago. So within 1 month, three checks, 100-100. So I thought this man may be forgetful. He gave the check and he forgot that he didn't write it. So I called the man, I said, sir, you wrote the check in the first week, $100. And you wrote another check within a couple of weeks. How come? He said, Pastor Peter, I sold my car and I got $1,000 profit. So I thought that's my $100 tithe. And the other one was just my regular tithe. And so he got $200. And then yesterday I got $100. So I said to my wife, my wife said, you should call him. I said, I called him. But the third check is, he said, I'm going to do my taxes. And when I get some money, I'm going to send another check. So can you imagine if this man sent the check, three checks, within 3 weeks? And so God multiply him. God supplies his need. And the other lady who gave $100, she always sends $50. This time she got $100. The word of God says, you give it to God, and God raised people to give it to you. So I give my heart to God. I give everything to God. Whatever God gives to me, I give it to God. And so God opens the door. The same way, when you doing it, let's read that verse one more time. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give unto your bosom? And then he says, for with the same measure that you measure, and then same measure, you're going to get it back. And so, when you give it somebody with a good heart, with a good desire, then God will give it to you the same way. God says, do you give this kind of gift to your boss, or give the mayor, or governor, or king, like a dead animal, or sick animal, or worthless things? Some people put the money in the offering. That money, I see, there might be Canadian coin, or maybe that coin is not worth it. So things like that. The Word of God says, don't do that. God is watching. If you need a good measure pressed down, running over, and people should give it to you, then you measure with a good measure. If you use the wrong measure, then you are not going to get back. And people saying, I'm giving my tithes and I did not get anything. Think, did you give your tithe properly? Or did you give just to please God? There was a one lady, I was watching the program. She said, I lost all my money. I have $20,000 debts. And now here remaining $7 in her checking account. She was talking to some Christian brother. And the Christian brother said, sister, do you give your tithes to God? She said, yes, I give it. How much? Maybe 5%, 2%, something like that. He said, give to the Lord 10% at least, or more. She said, I have only $7 remaining. She wrote $7 check. Today, she said, my $20,000 debt is gone, and I paid up my house, and I have more, and now I give more than 10%. You have to start somewhere. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
If you are willingly do good, and then you have plenty in the land. That means you have everything. But when we start cheating God, then you will be cheated. You have to say, Lord, I don't have anything. Just think that you don't have a job or you don't have anything. You say, Lord, this is what I have, a 5 cents. I give it to you. God will provide you a job. He will give you health. He will give you everything. So the Word of God says, give to God and He will give it back to you. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, we did not bring anything into this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. Whatever you have given to us is all yours. In this world, we have trials and tribulations and problems. When we come to you, when we pray, we check our heart. If our heart is condemning, then we will not have confidence towards God. So give us grace to check our heart. Give us grace to forgive one another. Give us grace to love one another. Give us grace to find out who has the need. And Lord Jesus, give us grace to help somebody who doesn't have anything. Be with us, sanctify us, use us mightily for the glory of God. Let our life shine. Let the whole world see that we are called by your name and we are belong to Jesus Christ. Give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.